Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm your host, Amanda Coulson, for the NAGB's Blank Canvas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. You can always download the app from the App Store or Play Store, and of course listen to Guardian Radio all day, all week, but we're always really happy on Wednesday evenings when you tune in to learn about your creative community. Tonight we have three wonderful people on the show. We're here to talk about, to continue talking about the exhibition Floating Rib, which is on at the National Art Gallery right now. That was curated by the NAGB's associate curator, Natalie Willis, and involves nine Black women of the Bahamas.
Hey, there we go. There we go.
I've got to train myself. Kia Poitier is with us. Margot Bethel is with us, and Natalie Willis, who's the curator of the show. So, Natalie, why don't you tell us again? I mean, we've been talking about Floating Rib a lot over these weeks, but just, again, frame it a little bit for us, and specifically today's topic, which is really about, otherness, queerness, and self-care. Why were those important issues for you among the other issues to delve into in this exhibition?
So Floating Rib is, somebody actually made me realize the other day, they were like, Nat, this is a love letter to your communities. And I was like, oh, actually, I really, really like that as like a way of thinking through things. So for me, I just wanted to be able to very, very, very simply make space for the practices of Black women who are like part of the Bahamas, whether they're living abroad or here, but generally there's this like shared experience of, feeling like all of the difficulties that come along with a move, like a big move, and living in the diaspora for like any amount of time, which all of us have. But also how that feeling kind of gets replicated a little bit at home. It's like you're not a citizen when you're in the diaspora necessarily, like a citizen of the place that you're living in. But then we also don't get to feel like full citizens here. And really, like, the women who agreed very kindly to go on this wild ride with me through COVID and through everything else. The work that's come out is just so very like heartfelt. And it just, for me, it's a nice way to give a lot of representation to a lot of different ways of being. And I definitely have a big, big soft spot in general for work that has to do with queerness and Blackness and womanhood and sort of unpacking and unpicking what womanhood can mean. And like, honestly, like everybody's like made history with this moment as well, which is kind of lovely because this is the first group show for Black women that we've had at the museum. So there's like a lot kind of in there, but a lot of the themes that came out of it, I think it's partly because of the artists that I chose, but I think it's because everybody's just dealing with, really, at the end of the day, I guess, ideas of authenticity, of self, whether it's looking at stuff in the landscape, more internally, which I think a lot of the work that Kia and my Margot both make is, I almost call you Mango Margot, right? Our beloved Mango Bethel.
It says Mango on the screen, so.
I know. Mango always in season, man. There you go.
I think what's really interesting about the show is that even though it's made for a very, like you said, you're creating space for people whose voices haven't been heard and who maybe don't feel like they've always had a space. I think what's really amazing the older I get is I realize that other people can still relate. Do you know what
Absolutely.
I mean? That in a way, like, so many of us walk around, specifically in this community, feeling like we don't belong. And like, what is that? You know, and I think this show kind of gets to that in a lot of ways. And there's so many ways people can be othered.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know, the way we look at the world has been so, so flat and so rigid and so confined.
It's easy to forget people's like shared humanity, I think, oftentimes, which is at the root of most issues on this particular planet. I can't speak for any other planet, but you know, maybe April Bay can, since she lives on Atlantica, but you know.
I know, believe me, I want to go live on Atlantica too. Don't we all? So I want to bring in the artists as well. So Kia Poitier and Margot Bethel, who again, I keep wanting to say Mango too. Margot. First, tell us a little about your works in the show. So let's I know Margot was on a couple of weeks ago, so I'll let you just drink your coffee. Kia, you're sort of, you flirt with the art world. You're a musician, you're an artist, but then sometimes you don't make art for a while and then you make art again. What made you want to like jump into this one? Like, I feel like it's kind of like you're back on the stage again, on the art stage, mm-hmm. in quite a big way.
Oh man, that's so much pressure. Okay.
No. You could even just say you like it. Pressure. Like, really,
I just be like... doing stuff. Like, my art practice, mm-hmm. like, I hate that question because I truly just be doing stuff. And sometimes mm-hmm. y'all like it. Like, that's really it. And I'm very grateful to Natalie because the reason I'm in the show is because of her. You know, I'm lucky enough to have made these relationships within the community, not just kind of exist in it, but really get to know people. And I think mm-hmm. Natalie put the show together and instantly was just like, girl, what you doing? I don't care because you're in the show. You know,
it's like, call me out there, call me
yeah.
out.
Yeah, and I'm so thankful that she did, because I think being an artist, and I do identify foremost as an artist, I think in its truest sense of the word, that is just how I've lived my life. Like, if I could do something else, I might, but I'm an artist, you know, and I see the world through that lens. And so I appreciate her reaching out to me in a time of isolation in the pandemic, when creativity is not accessible, when inspiration and motivation is low, and just planting the seed of like, girl, I want you to come take up some space. I want you to just show me you.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting because I think, so I just did one thing there, which is I tried to put you in a box that I didn't, because I said musician or visual artist, right? It's kind mm-hmm. of like, why do you have to choose? So I think mm-hmm. your answer was great, which is like, mm-hmm. I'm just an artist, and like, however that expresses itself. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because it's like, we're trying to find all the new labels, but at the same time, labels can also be really not helpful sometimes.
So, absolutely.
So I think that was a really good answer. But also, mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of people outside of the art community were like, oh, they must be, artists must just love this because they just want to be in their studios all day. So it's interesting also that, you know, since I've been talking to so many people through Blank mm-hmm. Canvas, it was like, I just couldn't work. What was it like for you, yeah. Kia? What was your experience with the pandemic? So, you know, again, I think a lot of people, when they imagine a visual artist, they imagine someone up in their garret, in their studio, thinking mm-hmm. deep thoughts. So yeah. it was kind of like, oh, yeah. they can just do that all day now because they can't go out.
Yeah,
I wish I was that person. I really do. I know artists like that who can just like lock themselves away in their tower and they be in their zone. They making 10 paintings. Bro, I'm coming out there with an addiction probably. Like, if I lock myself away, it is mm-hmm. not, mm-hmm. it's not healthy. Like, I'm mm-hmm. the type of artist who needs to live life. Mm-hmm. my work is about my own life. Mm-hmm. My career is like, my music career mm-hmm. is about my own life. So I have mm-hmm. to live my life to have something to make work about. So being mm-hmm. in this position of truly just pause, everything around me on pause, everything, the whole world, was just debilitating.
Like, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Because it's almost like artists are people. Yeah, funny
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah. No, but like I said, it's kind of like breaking down stereotypes, which mm-hmm. is what the show's doing too, right? Is that mm-hmm. we all carry these ideas of like, you know, what a banker does, what a lawyer does, mm-hmm. what an artist does. And so often, mm-hmm. like, we only have this very superficial understanding. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Margot, how was it for you, the whole pandemic? I mean, how did you cope with that as an artist and as an individual? Like, was that, again, also, like, very, very hard because you couldn't live your life, like he is saying? Or
yes, it was full of transitions for me. Mm-hmm. And I think for most people, for many people, I wasn't actually in one place, and that was not actually easy. Mm-hmm. I have a long distance relationship, so that complicates things. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but yeah, when you can't get on a plane, that's particularly difficult. Yes,
preach.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can. You might get stuck. You know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
So there was that, and there was this feeling of suspension. You know, I try very hard to keep connected to some of my closer friends. Even that was hard, though, because not everybody wanted to talk. People had difficulty connecting as well. Mm-hmm. You know, people were going through, everyone was kind of going through their own sort of emotions and sort of trying to process what was going on. Mm-hmm. In terms of my work, I did sort of dabble a bit. But nothing really concrete came until again, I wanted to reiterate also what Pia had said about really bringing this show together and bringing us together at this time, the importance of it. I don't, you know, I can't speak for others, but I do agree with Kia that it was incredibly, it was a real gift to be able to work together with others on a project like this, especially. And I have to say that the pandemic did influence the work itself, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Influenced the work. It made me question what I really wanted to say at this time, in the context of all of us feeling, you know, we were kind of all, I hate this, you know, this sort of cliched expression that everyone uses, that we're all in it together. But in the sense that people that may have not, you know, experienced much difficulty, I know there's no one that hasn't experienced difficulty in life, but it's all relative, right? So mm-hmm. I think everybody did sort of have to deal with inner difficult inner emotions, difficult external experiences, you know, and it did in a way make it easier to contemplate and express through my art anyway, a desire to bring us together, to hopefully even with a subject matter like ours, where there is disenfranchisement or there's mm-hmm. out, that, you know, the hope that people would have softened, you know, people's hearts are softening and people are opening up. No, you know,
I get it. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie as well. Like when Amanda was just like, oh, so how are you coping with it? Instantly my head was just like, bold of you to assume that I'm coping. Because so many people aren't, but like this, I don't know, for what I'm getting anyway is like feedback from everybody is that like it's been like a nice shared space to have, a shared goal to work towards, feeling like you can be with other people without having to physically be with other people, feeling like you're doing something a little bit bigger than yourself, which I think we all kind of needed as like a little extra motivation to keep going in the panini, as me and Kia often talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another day in the panna cotta.
Exactly.
But again, I think that is one thing that, you know, very often, like, we'll get the criticism, and I think people get the criticism everywhere in the world, but we get it a lot here in the Bahamas, when we present work that isn't just about, like, prettiness or beauty, like, why would you do that? Like, why would you show that? And I think, again, that's the power of art, right? Is that, mm-hmm. you know, you look at a painting like Edvard Munch's Scream and you feel not alone, mm-hmm. because you mm-hmm. see someone sharing an experience, you know, that you have. And so
absolutely.
I do think that's kind of the power of this show and the power of a lot of work we do, is that, again, that coming out of yourself to realize it's not only you, and that there's
absolutely
there's a comfort in that. There's a comfort mm-hmm. in that. So
sure.
We are here with Natalie Willis, the curator of the show Floating Rib, which just opened at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas a couple of weeks ago. It's on through the summer, so I encourage people to go, you know, because the art's amazing, but you know what? The NAGB has also fantastic air conditioning. So as it gets hotter, you know, yeah, please go yep. and hang out there, and good yep. Wi-Fi. So I'm just mm-hmm. saying, like, you know, it's a good place to go spend the day.
It makes a really good date too for people. Like,
really,
you can, like, you know,
date.
You
exactly.
can have like the conversations. You yeah. can be like, yes, I'm so like cultured. Look how like I'm like, you know, I'm with
exactly.
the stuff. Y'all know
exactly.
I wasn't going to say stuff.
Yeah, I'm the one seeing one more movie.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Don't forget the NAGB is free, right? You can't say that about going to the movies. Certainly not.
Facts.
Exactly. So come down to the NAGB, see the show. Nine Black women of the Bahamas. Two of them are with us this evening, Kia Poitier and Margo Bethel. And we're going to hear more about their work in this specific show and their practice in general when we come back from the break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm your host, Amanda Coulson, and we're going to be right back after this break.